legal notice on July the 7th, 2015, in the Aiken Standard. Notice to contiguous property owners, and signs were posted on the properties by Tuesday, July the 7th, 2015. Notices of the meeting were sent on July 24th to the city web page and to the city clerk for posting on the finance administration notice board and the municipal building notice board at least 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to interested parties. Now, as a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information according to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of either 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. Now, to the board, you have received copies of the meeting minutes of the June 23rd, 2015 meeting, even though we have a corrected copy before us now. Are there any corrections or additions to those minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the corrected copy as presented.
Second.
Third second. It's been properly moved and second that we accept the corrected copy of the minutes of the June 23rd meeting. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raising the right hand. Nancy, you are not voting. You were not present. The motion is carried with one abstention.
Mr. Chairman, I'll pass the orders around to be signed.
Thank you. In terms of the housekeeping for this meeting, those persons that wish to have a conversation with the board, we ask that you occupy the cubicle to my left. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversation with the board can be properly recorded. Anyone that wishes to receive a copy of today's proceeding, you may telephone the planning department. And please state your name and your address when addressing the board. The final orders are being passed as the old business. We'll move directly into new business. I call your attention to application 1593018, a request for a variance to allow construction of an additional to an existing building at 110 Pepper Hill Way, which will increase the enclosed square footage by 3,220 feet. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, sir, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
None that I'm aware of.
Do you have a presentation for us?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is an application by the Aiken I Partners, LLC. They're asking to vary two sections of the zoning ordinance. That would be section 4.3.2C, which requires all new construction in the limited professional and limited business district shall not result in a total floor area exceeding 5,000 square feet. This particular lot is zoned a limited professional. And also section 4.3.2G, which states no expansion of an existing building in a limited professional or limited business district shall cause the standards of these sections to be exceeded. And the property owners submitted the variance application to have a 13,200 square feet building on the lot that's zoned Limited Professional. They're actually asking for an additional 3,250 square feet. The maximum building size, of course, is 5,000 square feet. They previously got a variance to allow a 9,000 square foot building to be on this lot. Now, when you look on the lot, this is actually three lots that's been combined. The first variance, there was two lots that had been combined, so theoretically you could have two 5,000 square foot buildings. Dr. Fasia had a 9,000 square foot building and received a variance for that. Since then, they had some additional parking demands and they purchased the lot to the north and added the some parking up there. So it's actually now three. This parcel here is actually three lots that have been combined together and could have, before they were combined, theoretically had three 5,000 square foot businesses, a 5,000 square foot business on each lot. This is the existing floor or existing site plan of the site. You notice the layout with the parking and the building. This is the proposed addition. You see it in this area right here. So really, the building is not being, this is the residential here. This is fire station three here, our public safety substation. Got a Walmart over here. So this really isn't it going any closer to this residential area than the current building is. This would show you some of the vegetation that they propose to put in as far as the buffering and the landscaping that's going to be required when they come to the planning department and get approval, should the variance be allowed. This is the current building looking from the north to the south, looking across the street straight on. This is looking at it from the south to the north. Again, this is a more northerly direction, which you can see the back of the building a little bit there. And this is the back where the parking area currently is. And this is the vegetation between the site and Public Safety Station 3. And this gives you an idea of the vegetation between the current site and the residential to the north. Any questions for the city?
Any questions to the city from the board?
Pat? I have a couple questions. If you look, go back to the site plan, perhaps Exhibit C. There were two stakes in the outside of the parking area, mm-hmm. in the grassed area, toward the east, toward the fire station. Could you tell me what those stakes represent?
I'd ask the applicant. I'm not sure.
Okay, because they didn't seem to follow the exact, where the building would end.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what they are.
That's
okay. Second question. Obviously, instead of having 5,000 square foot buildings on three different lots, we're looking for 13,000 square foot building on three lots. My question is, at what point in the review of the construction plans would the city be looking at the sewage capacity? I'm particularly concerned not with the size of the buildings, which I think is modest, about 11% of the total square footage of the acreage, but the total amount of hardscape. And I'm wondering, at what point would the city be looking at the stormwater capacity?
The when we get the site plans submitted to the planning department, that's what we do. Part of the process is we farm that out. And the engineering department will review the stormwater calculations, their detention facilities, are they adequate, or will they have to do some more? And make sure it meets all of that criteria.
So if they thought it was necessary in order to drain all of this hardscape to put in another stormwater entrance, it would be up to the city would require the applicant to do that in their construction process.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
John?
Were the neighbors to the north notified? Were they sent letters?
We notified all the contiguous property owners, so they would have gotten letters as well.
So those three neighbors right there to the
yes,
north?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would think that back when the lot was reconfigured to allow for these smaller lots, because that used to be the location of the dealership, Ford dealership, that somewhere in the approval process that the planning department would have made some kind of look at stormwater runoff, you know, and other utilities that are needed there to handle the three or the however many 5,000 square foot buildings that would have been, that could be constructed on this site. Is that correct?
Correct. When the subdivision plat comes in, there again, all of the infrastructure, your water mains, your stormwater, your sewer, sanitary sewer, all that's reviewed by the engineering department to make sure it has the capacity, not only in that section, but downstream, all the way to the end, so it doesn't hit a clog. But if there again, when you do the site development, then you get to the stormwater, whether stormwater, the release rate and the engineering on that, determining whether or not they need to hold the water and release it slower, and that those type of engineering issues.
Okay. And just so that I can understand the drawing there, that the addition, the 3,200 square foot addition, appears to be being expanded into an existing parking lot. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like they're losing parking spaces, but I assume they're adding some additional parking spaces.
I think so.
To the west, right.
Mr. Paradise, I don't see anything attached here where people, neighbors or anybody has, have you received any comments or anything?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from the board to the city? Thanks, Tommy. Dr. Bethesi?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to represent the applicant?
Yeah, I might have Nathan Stewart, our builder, kind of, you know, because he's probably has more familiar with all the exact plans
I'm Nathan Stewart, Stewart Builders. I'm the general contractor.
Your address, please, for the record.
237 Chesterfield Street.
Thank you. Mr. Stewart, you received a copy of the staff report. Do you wish to embellish on the report or respond to and from questions from the board?
Well, the only thing I'd like to clarify is in regards to the stormwater. We're actually just taking up parking and adding building, so I don't think it's going to affect stormwater runoff. But of course, our engineers will do all those calculations.
So the most of the addition is going to be on what's now parking spaces.
Right.
But you're going to have some additional hardscape by adding additional parking spaces.
Well, we're actually not.
No.
Because we don't have the space to add the parking. So they're sacrificing the parking for the building addition.
Mm-hmm. So net no addition to hardscape then?
Correct.
No paved area?
Right.
Okay. I like that word, hardscape. Can you tell me about the mysterious orange stakes?
I really don't know what those were. The surveyors may have put those out, but those were not the building lines. The building lines actually come about halfway into the existing parking lot. So we are shifting the parking lot, I think it's about 6 feet back, the curb. But that's really it. So we're taking all the parking on that one side.
Now, the 20 parking spaces that you're sacrificing, are those shown in Exhibit 7?
Let's see. Which one is Exhibit 7?
The photograph of the parking lot, and then the is the shot to the north where the fire station is located.
Let's see. I don't think we're giving up any parking on that side. That would be the page north side of the building.
Yes.
That would be the east. Yeah. That's the east side. Yes. That's okay. Where they look like they're expanding
okay.
into that.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the east side. I think that you're expanding into, looking toward the public service station, public safety station.
Well, we are going toward the public safety station.
Okay, right. Good question. Right. Other questions from the board to Mr. Stewart?
Just one other question. This is a two-physician surgical facility. I think there's presently two surgeons. And this will allow for a third surgery center?
I'm not exactly sure who it's allowing for. Three doctors is what it's going to allow for.
Okay. And the total employment at this facility is?
I'm not aware of 52 employees. In regards to the sewer impact, it's mostly just small lab sinks in the patient areas and one small staff bathroom.
I'm thinking of stormwater runoff when I was asking the question about water drainage.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do we have additional questions from the board to Mr. Stewart? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? Final call, others to speak to the variance request. Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
We'd like to make a motion.
Nancy?
Make a motion that application 1593018 be approved to allow the addition of 3,250 square feet at the Aiken I Partners, and the final order be recorded in the RMC office. And even though it doesn't meet the criteria, in a way it does, because it's three separate lots, and that's why I feel we can do that.
Second.
Been properly moved and second. Bud Coward, second the motion. Do we have any discussion?
I just have one question, I guess, ask the planning director. We've assumed through this that these lots have been formally, legally combined.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Also to the planning director, the application indicated that they're going to, for landscaping, they're going to use mostly Chinese elm and magnolia type trees. This has been approved by the landscaping department of the city?
Not yet.
Not yet. Thank you.
I have a question.
John?
Is the buffer area between the parking lot and the residential area sufficient?
Yes, sir, I believe so. We have not gotten any complaints from the neighbors about the current operations, and since the parking lot's not going to be any closer, I would think that if we had any complaints, we'd already have them. Also, being a limited professional zoning district, their hours of operation stop at 10 o'clock.
I was going to ask that. Thank you. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, Those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. I call your attention to application 15-92008. That's the request for a special exception to allow construction of a pleasure stable at 563 Cocoa Springs Road. And I might ask the board that let's consider both of these applications together, but I will require a separate motion to cover each one of the applications. The second application is application 15-93019, and that's a request for a variance to allow stables and an additional horse at 563 Cocoa Spring Road. So we will hear these two together, but I will require a separate motion for each of the applications, the special exception as well as the variance request. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
And have there been other inquiries that you wish to share with the board other than the one passed out?
There have been other inquiries. Mr. Hanna has had several phone calls regarding the issue. I believe you're going to have a presentation from one of the public, and I think there's probably several of the public here to speak on the issue, but we don't have any written comments from the board.
Right. You have an overview for us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, board members, this is 563 Cocoa Springs Road. They're applying for a special exception approval for a pleasure stable. And along with that, they're requesting a variance. When you receive a special exception, it does place a limit on the number of horses that you can have. The limit is 2 horses for the first acre. So since there's not an acre there, it's my interpretation that they'd be limited to 1 horse because they don't have the full acre for the 2. They're proposing to build a pleasure stable and keeping the horse on the lot. Its lot is 0.7 acres in size. 3.3.21 requires a lot have a minimum area of 1 acre and a minimum width of 100 feet. Non-conforming lots in the RSS less than 1 acre may request permission for a pleasure stable through the special exception process. And that's why we're here. Now, the lot's non-conforming. It's got a size that's recorded at the RMC office or the tax office at 0.7 acres. And it's currently pretty well vegetated. Has a 2,296 square foot house, single family dwelling that's currently on it. This gives you the lot to the left is a, let me find a better one. Here you go. This gives you an idea of how they plan to put, where they plan to put the barn would be in the back corner there. And the paddock fencing, and of course this would require design review board approval as well. Typical sketch of the barn and an overview there of the site. If this is the paddock drawn out on that, and you'll notice there's a lot of lots. This is an area in the RSS district, there's quite a lot of lots that are non-conforming. This gives you an idea of some of the lot sizes, comparable lot sizes in the area. And this is the one I think I was looking for. You'll notice that Right up here is the horse trail, as we call it, that goes between Gray Circle and Coker Springs. And recently, the owner of the parcel, the owner that owns the parcel now, deeded an easement right here that goes and goes across his property for horse traffic to go through here. There's a 4-foot easement on their side of the property line for horse travel to this trail here.
Is that out? That's out to Coker Springs Road, right?
And that would get you to Coker Springs Road. This gives you an idea. These are the contour lines at 5-foot intervals, and gives you an idea of how the land, the lay of the land is, without the trees and the bushes. This would be the parcel right in here, and I can't read this letter here, but they're at 5-foot intervals. So there's about a 15-foot drop there from the rear to the front. And this would give you a side view of the house, front of the house, front of the house. Kind of giving, this is the backyard of the house where the stables would actually be and the paddocks would be located. There again, this is another photograph of the paddock area and the woods that would be removed. The one of the things for the special exception consideration is historic. Will there be any impact on historic structures or historic items in the neighborhood? And just so that there's no misunderstanding, so that y'all are aware of it, Coker Springs is down the road, and it's a historic site. But not only is Coker Springs a historic site, but Coker Springs Road itself, the dirt road, has been designated by City Council as a historic landmark. So it was one of the roads, one of our dirt roads, that got incorporated into that. Any questions for the city?
I have two questions.
Yes.
One, throughout the staff reports, I read that the land is flat. Except when I visited the property, I didn't see flat land. I saw hills.
Yes.
And the second question, you mentioned about the easement. Did you calculate the footage of the easement, and should that be subtracted from the 0.7 acres? Unless the easement is usable, and I don't think the easement will be usable.
Well, the square footage is about 715 feet for the easement. And that easement, while it could be used, you know, it's not restricted from their use, you're going to have to be able, from my understanding from the easement, the property owner should be here and may be able to address that. I need to be able to provide access for a horse to go through that. So it would seem to me like you need your fence on the inside of that 4 feet so that the person with that easement could go through there on his horse, his or her horse, like it's been agreed upon. And this is, like I said, the contour lines to give you an idea of the slope of the land. This is from the city's GIS map.
I've got several questions. Could you go back to Exhibit B1 or something that shows the site plan?
This one?
There. Now, there's a chain link fence around this property. Is that approximately on the boundary, on the border?
I'm not sure. Generally, I assume fences run along the property line, but I'm not sure. That'd be one pretty accurate.
Okay, and the intention is to put the two-stall barn and wash stall and tack room in the, I guess it would be the southeast corner?
Yes.
Which is going to be 32 feet from the pool recreation area of the property behind it?
Yes, sir.
Would that not require a variance as well?
No, sir.
Why not?
It's in an RSS zoning district. There is some, if it was an RS-15, it would, because I thought it would too, because of that thing that we ran into on Two Knox Road about being closer to a recreational then, but that doesn't apply in the RSS though.
This is in the historic district, and it's not a historic property.
Right.
It's zoned RSS because the entire area, just about every property west of between Whiskey Road and the woods is zoned RSS, even though 46% of the lots are less than 1 acre. But it doesn't have to meet RS requirements as far as distance from a neighbor's recreation area?
Not since it's in the RSS zoning district. If it was an RS-10, RS-15, RS-6, one of those, it would.
Okay, one other question. There was reference in the presentation, the staff report, to several other properties that were less than 1 acre that had stables on the property.
Yes.
There was no indication as to whether or not those were approved by special exception or variance. I'm going to assume that every one of those was grandfathered.
All of them, based on our research, all of those are grandfathered. The there was a request some years before, right there at on Grace Circle, the first house on the left when you turn in, that requested horses, and that was denied.
And the only one I remember being approved in my 9+ years was a property on Two Knox Road, which was 0.98 acres, and the house was much closer to the road. Mm-hmm. And we did approve that one.
Yes, and I believe that was the same one where we gave the variance for the, no, excuse me, they didn't get a variance. They had to move the paddock away from a fire barbecue pit.
And we denied the request for a larger barn.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
And just so you know, that was a 0.86 acres at Whiskey and Grace. 0.86 acres that was denied back in.
Yeah. And the one on Two Knox was 0.98.
Yeah. And that was 119 Grace, and that was in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the other, just kind of a point of clarification, the Aurora Stables, I think it's called, it's adjacent to this parcel. Of course, it's grandfathered in, but according to the deed, I know what the tax assessor says, according to the deed, it's an acre.
Do those properties, even though they're grandfathered, have both residences and stables on them, or just stables? I believe one of them just has a stable on it.
I think
no
that
residence.
Just has a stable. There's a mixture in there.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't say.
Okay. But we do have the situation that's ongoing where when City Council approved the RSS zoning, all of the zoning, it wasn't house by house, lot by lot. They
right.
approved areas of the city, and that area west of between Whiskey Road and the woods is ideal for RSS zoning. However, as we know with the houses on Fermata Place, they're not suitable for stables at all, even though the zoning is RSS.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Paradise, I need to bring you back.
Okay.
When you were discussing the easement, I think you were talking about the easement that's on Gray Clay Circle that allow access to the property, through the property, to the road. I'm talking about a second access area for an easement. And that's through the property is 20 feet drainage and sewer excess.
I understand. I was, you're right. I didn't calculate that when I was looking at the horse easement.
There is a 20-foot sewer easement through there. Of course, there's no reason that a horse, you've got the easement there. They could use that easement as far as part of their paddock.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, they could use that as part of the land.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
And they could build a fence, put fencing over the easement?
Yes.
Coker Spring Road is historic from where the pavement ends down past the springs and on down past the springs.
Yes.
Okay. And the pavement ends pretty close to the driveway to this property.
It ends right there. I think it's right in this picture. You can see the where the sign is, city mm-hmm. sign, mm-hmm. and there's a storm culvert there.
Yeah.
I think it's just past that, or a little past that, where the pavement ends.
Okay.
Right in that area somewhere. Because I'm thinking that that culvert probably catches it from the paved road.
That's what it looked like when I saw it today. But that culvert, but then there's also a stormwater catch basin there at the road, I believe, that ties in with the catch basin that's on this property as part of this easement.
I'm not sure.
Any further questions from the board to the city? John?
Is this special exception exclusive to the applicants?
That'll certainly be up to the board. You know, that's one of the things that you may want to consider when you make your motion, whether you want to go to this particular individual or go with the property. If it goes with the property, it's there in perpetuity. If it goes with the particular applicant, well, if we have the next applicant would have to come again. So there's two theories in that. One is you put in the infrastructure, you make the improvements, and you should be able to reap back your investment and sell it to the next one. So it should run with land. The other is you know who you're dealing with today. You know the character of the people, you know how they are. But then if something inadvertently happens and there's a problem with this particular special exception approval process, it gives the next owner would have to come back, and you know, that would be a hurdle for them. The neighbors have another chance to speak, you know, if they so desire.
Just as a point of clarification, throughout the staff report, I kept reading graduate conforming. What's the difference between graduate conforming and non-conformance?
What was the first word?
Gradual.
Gradual?
Yes.
Gradual. Where's that at, sir?
I'm going to my notes. I'll find it. Let's not take any more time. Further questions from the board to the city? Thanks, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Mr. or Mrs. Asher?
Tracy Eichel, 618 Major Court, Martinez, Georgia.
Ms. Asher, you received a copy of the staff report. Do you wish to embellish on the report? Respond to and from questions from the board.
Yes. So this is, honestly, today is the first time we've heard about this additional easement. We're trying to purchase the property, but that was not disclosed. The new easement that is shown on...
Can you speak a little louder or a little closer to the microphone, please?
Of course. I was just going to hold on a second. Well, I was saying this is the first we've heard about the additional easement If you see, I'll use the mouse over here. This is the bridle path that goes from Gray Circle over to Coker Springs, and this is the end of the pavement right here. But I guess the owner of the property that we're attempting to purchase in, you know, in this special exception, gave an additional 4-foot easement all the way across the back. I did not calculate that in because I didn't know about it till just now.
Wow.
So that's a little bit of a surprise. The only other thing I wanted to say is it was just a plan that I thought would work out the best. I put the stable in the back because I don't stable my horses very often. They don't stay in a stall. They pretty much stay in their paddocks. And I thought that would be less intrusive or disruptive to that area, and I was planning on putting a privacy fence back there anyway, you know, because, you know, you do want to be a good neighbor. But I'm open to moving it if they feel it's too close. I just thought horses that, you know, I would like the horses away from everybody as much as possible, and so that's why I chose that.
Questions from the board for Ms. Asher?
Pat?
Yes, you said you usually don't stable your horses, you just keep them in a paddock?
That is correct.
So I assume from that statement that you've had horses at home before?
Yes. Yes, we have a farm in Thompson as well.
Where?
Thompson. It just probably, I don't know how far, in Georgia.
And your expectation is that you're going to be able to put up a fence and put in a paddock, and you're going to grass a paddock, and it's going to be suitable to keep a horse in the paddock?
Right. Well, I have warm bloods, and they tend to gain too much weight on grass. So we will grass the paddock, but I would like,
Why do you think the grass is going to last with two horses running around?
Well, this is
tiny paddock. You've had horses at home.
Correct. Right.
And you've got that hill slope, and you've got a lot of trees and shade.
Right.
And a lot of roots.
Yes.
And a lot of clay soil.
Yes.
And you think you're going to keep the horses in the paddock?
Well, yes. I honestly do not stable my. They don't keep them in a stall most of the time.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from the board? John?
Yeah. I noticed a tree with a red ribbon or orange ribbon. Is that on your property? Does that have anything to do with this? I couldn't tell if it was with your neighbors or...
I know that, I think they surveyed when they put the house up. For sale. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was a marker. Was it interior or was it? I didn't see a red ribbon.
Okay.
No, sorry.
And how much landscaping or grading do you plan to do?
Well, I plan so that the back where I pick there's a small, looks like on the contour interval, 5 or 10 feet. So that part would have to be. Flattened out at the top of where I said I was going to put the stable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other part, I would try to leave it undisturbed because I think that would, as it is right now, I think the runoff, it seems to be working. Because even after a hard rain, I've gone over to look and everything looks like it's going well. I could terrace it. That's what other properties on small acreage have. They have it terraced, but I think that's on a much steeper slope. But I would have to get some expert guidance for
that. Okay. Any trees going to be removed at all, do you know of? Are there any trees?
But there would have to be quite a few trees. Like there's, because it's so overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
We'd want to leave all the big trees as undisturbed as possible. But that's what probably depends on your definition of a tree. But it's very jungly right now and overgrown. And so where the stable is planning, there are several large trees right there. So wherever we chose to put it, it would have to have tree removal.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if you are planning, I'm concerned about runoff from your property and in the close proximity to the Coker Spring, which is less than 250 feet away. And that spring is not only historical, but has a lot of historical significance dating back years of how it was used and the number of visitors. I'm concerned about, and it's still used as a watering for horses in that area. I'm concerned about possible contaminating or polluting the spring if the runoff is not controlled in such a way that it will not affect the natural flow of the Coker Springs. Have you given any thought along those lines?
Oh, I have, definitely. I know, the question, you know, is immediately adjacent. There's another stable. So I don't think I would be adding any more, but, I would remove manure according to the zoning, and remove it, I think it's twice a week is required, but probably more than that. And, but as far as the runoff, there is two culverts outside the immediately in front of the property, which is odd. They're right next to each other, separated probably by a car width, which, so a lot of, water runoff does go down. And then there's one on the property, as we already spoke of the other easement. Mm-hmm. So, I think that it would be what's there is adequate, but if I'm not a water expert, I'd be happy to hire somebody, if this gets approved, to make sure that it is.
Thank you. Other question, Bert?
Yeah, I think you've referenced in some of this written information that you would have an expert look at stormwater runoff.
Right.
And so forth from your project. Is that correct?
Correct.
One other thing, and I'm just concerned about, I understand where your paddock, where your two-stall barn is going, your tack room and wash rack, and it's going back in the corner. It's kind of left on a little shelf. If I looked at it correctly.
Right.
Tucked back over that shelf. Of course, you'd have to allow for this easement that you just discovered. This 4-foot easement, I assume that you couldn't use. I mean, you'd have to keep it open, even though it's just an easement.
Right.
But the other thing, I'm trying to determine where your paddock would go or paddocks. Is that shown on Exhibit B1?
It's this exhibit. I don't know if that's B1 or...
That's B1.
Okay. So right now I have it drawn as 4 paddocks,
okay.
And I used an adjacent property's, size of their paddocks and transferred it kind of over. So, because I was like, what is reasonable? Because I've only had horses on large acreage.
Okay.
I used... like I said, the adjacent property's paddock sizes and reproduced them.
Okay,
which,
so
which
what
would be?
Okay. What is shown then on B1 that I'm looking at here? What's up there? You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 paddocks shown. Is that right? Of
correct.
Varying sizes from 4,000 square feet, more or less, to 3,300 square feet, to 3,289 square feet, to 4,850 square feet. Each of those are 4 separate paddocks that will be fenced, gated, and so forth. And you would move the horse or horses from one to the other as
correct.
You see fit.
Correct.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
So the paddocks could rest and hopefully recover
right.
a little
yeah.
bit.
All right. Back.
Could you, on that picture, show me where the proposed pleasure stable is going to be
sure.
in relationship to the neighbor's swimming pool?
Okay. Here is the pleasure stable for the... thing, and the pool is over here.
Okay.
So I just felt that would be less. I mean, I'm happy to move it to a different location. This was just, it seemed like land wise, that's where it would fit the best, and I thought that would be less less obtrusive, less disturbing. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have other questions from the board? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to either the special exception or the variance request?
Hi, I'm Sissy Sullivan. I live at 1205 Tunuck Road. And Tracy and Bud Eichel are clients of my real estate teams, and they're under contract to purchase this property. I just wanted to clarify for the record that Aurora Stable, which was the stable that is of reference, does have accommodations for living on that property. It has a, I believe it's a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment in the midst of the courtyard-style stable, just for clarification for the record. And then as it relates to the Eichel specifically, in considering their possible, your exception for them, is they have been horse people for a very long time. They intend to continue to own their farm in Thompson, and the horses would travel back and forth, and frankly, be in Thompson more than they would be here in Aiken. And I think that's important to note what their intended use is for this property. It is not a primary residence where these two horses would be full-time, 365 days a year.
Any questions from the board to Ms. Sullivan? Thank you. Others to speak to either the special exception or the variance request?
My name is Jan Ratter, and I live at 111 Brookwood Place Southwest. And I live directly across from where this proposed horse stable and series of paddocks is going to be placed. I have strong objections to this arrangement, and I'll list some of them. One of them is that my house has 5-6-foot windows that I purposely installed when I renovated the house in 94 in order to look at the beautiful road and the horses going by. And now I have two large decks, too. I have a deck off my living room, and I have a deck off my family room. And so now I fear that I'm going to be looking out on an area that's going to be stripped of trees. I estimate there's at least 10 large trees, 50 to 75 feet tall, are going to have to be removed, which will spoil the features as you're going down the road and you transition from the pavement to the dirt. There's kind of a natural archway there, not quite as pretty as South Boundary, but an archway nevertheless, with the trees from that property and the trees from my property, which grow out of the bank. And so that's all going to disappear. What I fear I'm going to be looking at is a lot of bare space. I did some calculations just to figure out how much space would be taken up by the paddocks and the footprint of the house and the driveway and the stable, and I calculated about close to 20,000 square feet, which is about 64% of the property. With the slope that you've got, let's see if I can go back to that B1. Okay, if you look at the paddocks there, there's not going to be much green area once the horses are in there. People can say all they want, they'll keep them one place, but once they have the special exception, they can do whatever they want because they've got it. And so what I look at is the contour line, and I see the paddocks and the bare space draining down into Coker Spring. I also see a flume of water going down that driveway right into the road, right across from my house. I have stairs leading down. And I'm just concerned that I'll no longer be able to look out the windows that I put into the house. I'll no longer be able to use the two porches or the two decks that I have built. Because I'll be honest with you, that Aurora Stables, when they have horses there, and right now they don't have any, the stench is unreal at times. When the wind blows the right way, you cannot go out on the deck. You know, we like to eat dinner or breakfast out there. Can't do it. And so I just have a concern that with additional horses, on 7/10 of an acre, which is way less than what's required, it's just going to make things very miserable. It's going to destroy the historic aspects that I bought the house for. And the homes on Berkwood Place are in the $500,000 to $900,000 price range. And so that's going to presumably devalue my property if this thing looks as bad as I think it will. And so that's all I have to say.
How long have you been there?
I've been there since 1992.
Okay, about 25 years.
25 years.
23 years. From your experience, is Coker Springs Road, and mine is, it seems to be subject to severe thunderstorms, water runoff, and even road closings.
Absolutely.
And the clay surface, the water just becomes slick and muddy, and you've lost the road several times.
I can tell you that there isn't a day that goes by where I can hear people scraping their cars from washouts. I've seen water flowing down there like a river, and it's eroded along the sides, and it depends on how they grade it. They grade it back and forth, the city does. I mean, they try to do their best. But the water runs down, it runs a groove down the middle, it runs down one side, it eats into my bank. They tore the whole thing up about 6 or 7 years ago and put in all the new piping. And there's strings all over the place. I mean, that's what they call it, Coker Springs.
Well, it's a spring area, and yeah. There's also a low runoff water surface going down to the woods.
Right.
You're on city sewage, but of course there's no stormwater drainage. It's all through the culverts.
Right.
So all the water ends up in the woods is where it ends up.
Right. Unless the culverts fill up with soil, which they will do, because there's a considerable amount that comes down off of Grace. I mean, it's like a mud river that runs down there, and I have never seen anybody clean those culverts out.
It follows the natural course, just elevation change.
Yeah.
Just to understand your concern, is that on this property, the plan is to accommodate paddocks. They plan to take down all the trees, and you're concerned that denuding that hillside is going to destabilize it further.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from the board to Mr. Rather? Thank you.
One point.
Oh, let's see. Ms. Rada.
Next door to you, to the south and west, there appears to be a larger, looks like a larger home. Is there are there stables associated with your neighbor immediately
yes,
to your
a,
immediately to your? If you look at your house from Coker Springs, immediately to your left.
Yeah, that would be Julia DeBoer's house. She's recently married, I think, in Los Angeles, California now. She has 2 acres.
Yeah.
She has a small stable that she used to use for horse years back. She has no plans to put horses in there, but presumably it could be used for horses again. However, it's way at the corner of her property. It's very far away from, I mean, you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive up the street, and because it sits down from Berkwood, you can't even see the stables, nor can you see the paddocks. You can't see any of it.
Are there any other stalls, barns on Berkwood?
No. And the existing stables on Coker Spring are downstream of the spring. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Other than the Aurora Barn.
Other than the Aurora Barn.
Okay.
Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the special exception or the variance request?
My name is Monique Rabin, and I'm a resident at 117 Grace Circle.
And I, too, have some strong opinions about this, and I emailed a presentation to Mr. Hanna today. I think I can get to it, yeah. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. Like I said, I live at 117 Gray Circle. I'm in the same neighborhood as this house, 563 Coker Springs. We live in Palmetto Terrace, and it's a neighborhood of four properties. And we represent, I guess, the first two letters of the zoning, residential single family. And we've enjoyed living here for 17 years. We enjoy being close to downtown, visiting the shops and the restaurants and the library and all the parks. And there's just a lot of unique features associated with the city of Aiken that are not horse related. And that's what we partake in. We're a very outdoorsy family. We have three children. One is gone or moved out of the house, but we have two boys still at home, and we're always outside. Okay, so there's three primary reasons that I'm objecting to this variance, and the first, I think, is the nuisance and of the smell, the insects, and the appearance. Also, I'd like to talk about just the character of our neighborhood. I'm using the term master plan. Maybe that's not an appropriate term if you're in that business, but I'm not. And then I would like to address the runoff, and I have slides for each one of these, so thank you for bearing with me. Okay, so this is our house right here, 117. This is the pool that we've been discussing, and then this is the 563 Coker Springs property. The stables that we've been talking about, I didn't know it was called Aurora Stables, but that's 524 Coker Springs Road, I think, is the address, and that has been grandfathered in. And I think we've all talked about the fact that they have horses there. There is a residence, but the property owners don't live there. The property owners live in a much larger piece of property on Berry Road. But we get the effects of their horses. We get the flies and the smell. I agree with Mr. Ratter that the smell is overwhelming at times. But thankfully, they only have horses at their property in the spring through the fall. Spring and fall, they don't have them in the and then winter, but they don't have them in the summertime, so we're really appreciative of that. At times, this is the Aurora Stables right here. At times, I have counted that they have had seven horses on that piece of property. They've been grandfathered in, so I guess there's not a horse limit. But they have, I believe, stalls for seven or eight horses. So there is quite a nuisance with flies. My sister lives in Charleston. She comes to visit me, and she tells me, well, Charleston has the sand gnats. You guys have the flies. So it is a problem, and it's noticeable, not just by us. And there is, you know, I know that there's a requirement to remove the manure, and I work full-time, and I'm not there, but I don't see a lot of traffic of removing the manure from that property. And I'm not sure how the city would regulate that or how they enforce that. And, you know, once this gets grandfathered in, it's not a comfortable feeling to call the city and complain about your neighbors. It's just not kind of an enjoyable way to be. Okay, so this is the Coker Springs property right here, and I've drawn in the proposed stables, and I've just kind of based the measurements. Our pool is 36 feet long, so I've based it based on what they told me the dimensions would be. That's an approximate area of where they're going to put the stables. And as you see, and we've mentioned, our pool is right here. We spend a lot of time in the backyard. So now, if this was granted, we would not only have the nuisance of the flies in the front yard from Aurora, but also from the backyard. And this whole area will be paddocks, so regardless, the horses are going to be right next to the whole western edge of our property. And this little strip of land right here is 7 feet wide, according to what I measured on the GIS website. So we don't have much buffer area between this. Okay, so now I'm going to get to the second point I was mentioning, is just like the characteristics of our neighborhood. Palmetto Terrace, there are four properties. All the houses were built in the 1960s. They have a very similar style. I put their assessed values and what they've recently sold for. And I think I do agree that turning this property into a horse property would increase the value of their house. I think that's evident by what's happened at 119 Grace Circle, which is on the corner of Whiskey and Grace. And although they applied for a variance to have a horse and was denied, they still bought the house so that they could, so the property owners of Red Top behind there could access Grace Circle to get to the woods. So it is, and you can see that sold for $235,000 in 2007. And get to the next slide. Okay, here's this gray area is a map I pulled off of the city's website or the county's website. This blue outlined area is the neighborhood, Palmetto Terrace. This is Whiskey Road, Grace Circle, and then Coker Springs. This is the house that we're discussing right now in Coker Springs. This is our property and our neighbor's property. As you can, these are pictures of all their homes. You can see they're all split levels. They all have a brick and some type of siding facade. So there's some type of uniformity, I believe, in this neighborhood that was designed as such, and I'd like to keep it that way. I think that the consistency in the original plan is why we purchased the house, and we'd like to maintain it that way. And I did see in some of the discussion by the applicant that there are other horse properties nearby, but I did want to say that almost all of those horse properties are greater than an acre. Some that are not, I think we've mentioned before, have been grandfathered in. And they range, they don't have the same characteristics as the neighborhood that this house is in. This is some of the surrounding areas. On 3rd Street, I think that was mentioned in the applicant's application. So as you can see, there's just a lot of variation. So the fact that, you know, I just don't think that having horses fits in with the Palmetto Terrace neighborhood. Okay, and we've talked a lot about runoff. Now, runoff from their property isn't going to directly impact our house because we're up gradient or we're higher elevation than they are. But I did want to bring to your attention, and although you already know a lot about runoff, the effects that we've seen at our house from other horse properties. So we've mentioned already that this property, 563 Coker Springs, the backyard is not level. And I did look at those contours on the website, and I just had a hard time believing them. And I just didn't think they were detailed enough and precise enough because they don't, I'm not sure what the source of those contours were. So we did take a look at it ourselves, and we measured just by pacing off and eyeballing the height that the slope in this area, they want to put the paddocks back here in the corner by our pool. That's our house through the trees right there. This slope is what we measured is 13%. So, and it's very heavily vegetated. The front yard also is very heavily vegetated, and it has a less severe slope. So what I have witnessed from other properties, I just want to show you some evidence of erosion and what you can expect when they put horses on a property. This is Red Top on Whiskey and Dupree, and they own this big piece of property. There might be several properties, but they own all this area. And when we first moved in to our house over here on Grace, there was some different owners, and they didn't have horses. And then the current owner put horses in, and I assume this is their stable and paddock area. And then immediately he started having runoff problems. And he was having ponding, he told us. And so he hired a subcontractor in the grading and drainage business. And he also owned that house I told you on Grayson and Whiskey. Well, he put this nice riprap ditch from his property to Grace Circle so that he could drain his property. And this is what it looks like after a heavy rain, not during a heavy rain, because I've seen it worse than that, but I can't bring my camera out during that. But it drains all of his property and all of the sand and silt from his horses and manure down our street. And there is a stormwater drain at the end of our street. And sometimes during a heavy deluge of rain, it overcomes that stormwater and it backs up in our yard.
Now, Red Top is on Dupree, but this is the back of Red Top where it meets Grace Circle?
Right. If you see on this right here, this is Dupree right here, Whiskey. So this is Red Top. This is the house on Grace that these people still, they own this house also. This is our house.
And where does this water go from here?
The water goes down the storm drain that's at the end of Grace.
Oh, there is a storm drain there.
There is a storm drain. But like I said, it does get overwhelmed sometimes, and it backs up. And right now, it's backed up on our driveway a little bit, but it has gone in the yard. So this is what you can expect from a horse property on this type of property. And one thing with their Red Top, they have a much less severe slope, and they have more property potentially for infiltration. So the conditions are only going to be worse at Poker Springs.
What is that on the right hand side, bottom right?
This?
Yes.
This is our house right here, 117 Grace. This is the end of Grace Circle, the cul-de-sac. So this water from the top of Grace, from really Red Top Stables, through this riprap drainage came down and down Grace Circle to the end. So we've been talking a lot about Poker Springs Road, and we've all been on Poker Springs Road many times, and it does get very damaged by stormwater. We've talked about that. So that type of runoff from the Poker Springs resident due to stables is just going to increase that. It's going to require more maintenance. Several years ago, they did put in some, they did an extensive project, the city did an extensive project with the drainage from Hitchcock Woods all the way to Poker Springs and in this property. There is a stormwater culvert on the property that was fairly recently installed. So all the horse manure silt is going to go down there, and I don't think that was in the plans. You know, there were stormwater calculations, I'm sure, that had to be done for that project. And all those stormwater calculations taken affect the slope, the vegetation, and the area being drained. So now that we're going to change all that, I think it's probably going to have a detrimental effect to the, probably several $100,000 project that the city just installed. It was several years ago. And I've looked at some of those culverts, which is a picture here. This is the one in front of the house. The applicant mentioned that they're two close together. They're right here. This is the second one that's a little bit further away. And then this is one a little bit further down Poker Springs. I've been down there when that whole opening of the culvert has been blocked by silt because of the storm. And the city comes and cleans that out periodically when they grade the road. But I just can't imagine the impacts that this is going to have on Poker Springs Road with respect to runoff.
Is a clean out on a schedule, or do the neighbors call when it fills up?
I don't know. I just know that occasionally I go down and the road looks different. You can tell that it's been scraped. Mr. Ratter lives right there, so he might be able to know that. So I guess what I'm just asking is that you deny this variance request. obviously it's not going to be a pleasant experience. I think it's going to diminish the quality of life for us. We spend a lot of time by the swimming pool, and the flies and the smell are really going to make our backyard not very pleasurable. And like I said, it doesn't really fit in with the neighborhood that it belongs to, Palmetto Terrace. And the runoff issues are really what I'm concerned about.
Does the board have any questions for Mrs. Redmond?
Yes, sir. But Palmetto Terrace consists of four lots, is that right?
Yes.
Lot one being at Whiskey Road, then lot two, and you're on lot three. And the lot in question here is lot four, is that right?
Right.
And it appears from the information given in Exhibit F of the documents that we have, that 20-foot drainage and sanitary sewer easement goes from Coker Springs Road across the lot in question as well as your lot. Is that correct? The tie-in to
I believe that's
Great
correct.
Circle.
I believe that's correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have, what we have here in Exhibit F shows an easement, but it shows guiding on across your what appears to be your property,
mm-hmm.
and it may tie in, and maybe Mr. Paradise can tell us it ties into and drains what runoff you have from Grace Circle. Is that right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
The water line has to be underground in that area because it all flows to the woods,
yeah,
and there's a drainage right there at the end of Grace Circle.
Okay, but it looks like it
could. So if you extended that dotted line all the way to the road, it would be where the storm drain is.
It's picked up and it comes across your property,
right.
But you don't have any kind of catch basin device on your property, is that
no,
right?
No, we don't.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I think the previous owner, she was having trouble with drainage on her lot, and she talked to the city, and she convinced the city to add that culvert on her property because she was having so much drainage, and she was just an advocate of leaving all the vegetation there. I know my husband, like, anytime he brought the chainsaw out to cut little things, she was always coming to say hello to us. But she did not want any of the trees knocked down, and I guess she was having problems with drainage, and that's why they added that in her property.
Okay. Does the board have further questions for Ms. Reagan? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to either the variance request or the special exception? Final call. Others to speak to either the variance request or the special exception.
Sissy Sullivan, 1205 Two Notch Road.
Thank you.
I just have a question of the neighbors. Are you open?
Excuse me.
You speak to the board.
Okay. I guess my question I would have of the neighbors is, is there any open-mindedness to a variation of the plan that was proposed? You know, I think the Eichels have communicated that they're open-minded to consider placement of the stable in a different location on the property. You know, they're willing to work with you and you if that's really, I guess, I'm kind of asking that question. And then the other thing that just, I hear it, and I can't necessarily disagree with it because I don't live there, but I do think a couple of neighbors that don't do their job as they are supposed to, that's getting projected onto this. I know, and that's not these people and how they would necessarily manage their property. And so I understand what you are living with, but I also don't want there to be the assumption that these neighbors would be would not be excellent neighbors and take, you know, do everything to manage their property in a way that's responsible to the property and to their adjacent neighbors.
Yeah. Well, first of all, to answer your question, this is not a mediation board.
I know.
And our
sorry. I have a little experience with that.
Our responsibility to the city is that we interpret the ordinances of the city, and we have some criteria that we judge the presentation of the applicant's information to. And if it meets the criteria, then the board can act and grant a variance or a special exception. And so we strictly adhere to the criteria of which the state imposed on us to judge the requests by. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Ms. Sullivan?
I think you were clear. You're representing them as a real estate broker agent. You're selling the house?
My team is representing. I am not the realtor of my team of four that has been working with these buyers on a day-in, day-out basis. But my team, with Betty Alexander, has been their day-in, day-out buyer's agent. So I'm aware of what they're trying to do, but I have not been the one that's been in the trenches showing the properties and that sort of thing. But I have to disclose that because I don't want you all to realize. I mean, there is
a
business.
You're not speaking as a neighbor or.
No, I'm not speaking as a neighbor. However, I have represented my team also has represented the property known as Ron Point, which is adjacent to Aurora Staple. Very familiar with the location and the nature and the ambiance of the neighborhood. I walk my dogs in Hitchcock Woods every day. I often use the Coker Spring entrance or use the Berry Road entrance and walk down to the Coker Spring entrance where I see people entering the woods on horseback or walking in with their dogs. I mean, I think that's one of the charming, you know, attributes of that neighborhood. And when, you know, we show what Aiken is all about, whether you're a horse person or not, there's an intrinsic bucolic feel to our town that is has been protected by the historic nature of the dirt clay roads. But if those didn't have a horse walking down them every once in a while when you spy them on your way, it would just be a dirt clay road. Part of what makes it special is that we live with our animals and we live with our sport all right here all together. And for the most part, people are good and respectful neighbors to each other, and we all make it work together.
Do you have horses at home?
I do not have a horse at home, but I do have a horse that lives on a property off of Banks Mill Road. He lives in a paddock that would be about a quarter of an acre. He has green grass and it hasn't been raining, so, you know, one horse in that square footage you can still have green grass, just depending on how it's managed. But my property isn't zoned for horses. I would have to go through this process. I don't even have the benefit of my personal property. I'm not zoned residential with stable. So I would have to go through a lot of different hoops because I'm RS-15. So I'm not even in an area that's conducive for horses, which is, you know, obviously, we've all acknowledged here that this neighborhood, broadly speaking, zoned RSS, part of the reason it is because it is in the area where horses have a place to exercise other than on the property, which is on the trails of Hitchcock Woods or hacking over Whiskey Road through our wonderful push-button system and hacking the dirt roads of the horse district, you know, exercising on the polo fields or in the sand lot where the jumps. And that's what it's all about, you know, in terms of the horse historic aspect. Any other questions?
Any other questions from the board?
Thank you.
Thank you. Final call. Do we have others to speak to the variance request or the special exception or any questions to the board?
All
Hi, my name's Steve Rabin. I live at 117 Gray Circle. Listening to the Eichels, I'm sure they're very nice people, and I appreciate the flexibility to do what they can to try to make this palatable for the neighbors. But in reality, in my opinion, the lot is just too small, and the way that our house is laid out with our pool back there, it just doesn't seem like it's going to infringe on our enjoying our house. But I do appreciate what you're attempting to do.
Any questions for Mr. Rabin? Thank you. I see no other requests to speak, so the chair will now entertain a motion so we can enter into a period of discussion on either the special exception or the variance request.
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Pat?
My motion is to deny application 15-92008. It fails to meet the criteria, specifically in part or in whole, criteria 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 9. Frankly, as a former horse owner and equestrian, I find the property to be totally unsuitable to keep horses on in terms of its topography, its soil composition, its location, and frankly, what you're going to have, you cannot have anything other than a slippery slope that's denuded of grass and even weeds, and certainly the trees that are holding the slope in place now. Everything is going to drain and slide down to Coker Springs Road and will be detrimental to the road and ultimately to the woods. And possibly maybe detrimental to the springs itself, which is a historic feature.
So if I can paraphrase your statement, your motion is to deny.
To deny.
Do we have a second?
A second.
John seconded. It has been properly moved and seconded that we deny application 15-92008. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by a raise of the right hand.
Oh.
The motion is carried unanimously. The chair would now entertain a motion for application 15-93019. That is a variance request.
That's for an additional
horse. Additional horse. We need to have an action on both applications.
I make a motion that 15-93019 be denied because there hasn't been a variance for the stable.
Special exception.
The special exception, yeah.
It's been seconded by Bud. It's been properly moved and seconded that we deny the application 93019. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. With that, I call in. We have no other items to come before this board. I call for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
And properly moved. We stand adjourned.
Mr. Ratter.
Oh, I'm not sure.
And Ms. Rabin.
I looked it up.
I don't know if you know.